Hey, children, we're working our way through 1 John, and again, chapter number 5. I want to look at verses 6 through 13 tonight. If you remember correctly, we looked at verses 1 through 3, and we looked at the phrase in verse 3. This is the love of God, talking about our love for God. The two main things, of course, is keeping his commandments and against loving the brethren. Then we looked at verses 4 and 5, and we went through the idea of being an overcomer, all right? And we talked about the three things about overcoming. In other words, what are we overcoming? Of course, in verse number 4, it's the world. How do we overcome the world? It's our faith that's mentioned in the last part of verse number 4. And then, of course, verse number 5, who are the overcomers? Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And church, I mean, John here is connecting the verses almost like a chain. He ends verse number 5 talking about the Son of God, and then over the next several verses, he's going to talk about the Son of God. Now, when you get down to verse number 13, that's the most familiar, I would think, the most familiar verse in this chapter, because we quote it all the time. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And of course, so we memorize really these key verses, but really, John's talking about Jesus Christ again and again and again. And you'll notice as we go down to the passage here, he's called Jesus Christ, he's called the Son of God, he's called the Son, all the way down through this passage. But there's another word that's mentioned along with that 9 times between verses 6 through verse number 11. And that's really what I want to take our message from tonight. So let's read our passage and then we'll look at this together. John chapter 5, let's pick it up in verse number 6. John chapter 5, verse number 6. This is he. Now, church, remember now, connecting to verse number 5. What's the last phrase of verse number 5? Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, obviously Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's where we get the Trinity. Verse number 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Hey, church, so we don't miss the thought tonight before we pray. The word that's mentioned 9 times, it's the word witness. Actually, the word witness and record have the same Greek word meaning. And it's the idea of giving testimony of, giving evidence to. Now, I want to give a message tonight on this. God is my witness. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. And I think you'll follow me now here in just a moment. Let's pick it back up in verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. Word record means witness. Record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Again, church, maybe we'll look at the verses a little more closely, but verses 6 through 13, God is my witness. I want to talk to you for just a few moments on that tonight. Would you ask the Lord's blessing on his word? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue to try to understand what you've given us through 1 John, I ask you to please open up our eyes of understanding, and Lord, may we take in, and Lord, may it not just be knowledge, may we be grateful that you are the witness, our witness, and Father, may we again take that and help us to grow from it tonight. Again, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Church, I know a lot of people use that phrase, and sometimes they use it in the wrong manner, okay? So what is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain? It's when we use it worthlessly, emptily. And I know a lot of people do that when they say, well, God is my witness, this is what I mean, or what I said is true. That's what they're using. They're using the cliche to say that, hey, listen, God would agree with me, all right? God would testify on my behalf. And by the way, Apostle Paul made that same statement. It's very, very interesting in Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So what was Paul saying? Paul was trying to tell the church at Rome, I'm praying for you, and God's my witness that I'm praying for you. All right, so this phrase that's mentioned in this passage here, the Apostle John, is talking about the witness of God. Now, church, this is not a deep thought tonight. And I'm almost would rather go backwards than go forward. I'd rather start in verse 13 and work my way back to verse number 6. But I'm not going to do that tonight. All right, I want to start in verse number 6. I'm going to walk through this with you. And I want you to notice what God is trying to teach us about God being our witness. All right. Again, what's that witness? It means to be the one giving testimony or to give evidence or to bear record. Church family, can God lie? Yes or no? Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And God who cannot lie. In other words, God is the one that is speaking here. And he says, I'm witnessing this statement, this premise, this principle. I'm the witness to this. And it's very, very important. Of course, we'll look at that in just a moment. Now, let's pick it up in verse number 6. And here's what I want you to see, church family. Look at verse 6. And the first premise of this idea of God as my witness is in verse 6 and through 9. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Now, let's stop for just a second since we're walking through the passage tonight. When the Bible says that Jesus came by water and blood, there's a couple thoughts on that, all right? To me, the first thing that comes to my mind is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and the Roman soldier took the spear, what came out of Jesus' body? Water and blood. I think it points us back to the cross of Christ that, okay, identifying which Jesus this is. It's the Jesus that hung up on the cross that when the spear went inside of his side, water and blood came out. It could be that the water and blood is making reference to his water baptism with John the Baptist and his blood being shed on the cross. I don't know, but for sure, it's identifying who this is. It's identifying Jesus Christ. All right, so look a little farther now, verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, there's that word again, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record. That word record means witness. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All right, let's stop for just a second here. The first thing about God being our witness is that there are three that bear witness. You say, Pastor, I thought God is our witness. That's because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. So we understand that the Trinity. Now, church family, I know that there are people. I've been out door knocking before. And they'll say, hey, listen, the reason we don't believe in Christianity is because you're polytheists. They say that because you believe in many gods, we don't believe in Christianity, that we believe in the only one God, Allah, or whoever they want to call their God, that they're single. Now, church, I want to tell you something. I cannot explain how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three, but the Bible says they're one. And by faith, we understand that the Trinity is shown here, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all agree in one. Now, church, I mean, isn't it interesting that you, if they were trying to find out in the Old Testament if a person was a false witness, was giving a false testimony, that's why they had to have two or three witnesses. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples in the New Testament, he said, but if he will not hear thee, talking about a church member or a Christian who was at odds, he said, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Church, I mean, what establishes the witness of God is because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit never contradict each other. Follow me tonight. There are people out there that would like to tell you that the Bible you hold in your hand is full of contradictions, and I want to give you the answer to that. Show me one. Because I want to just tell you, people parrot what they've heard from other people say, and they would like to say, well, the Bible's not true because this, this, and this. Now, I want to tell you what they'll do is they'll go to the internet and find things that the Bible does not reveal, just like Deuteronomy 29:29. There are secret things and there are revealed things, and some things God just did not reveal. That doesn't mean there's a contradiction. And I want you to understand that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit who's inside of you, and God the Son, or Jesus Christ, who is the written word of God, in the beginning was the word, we understand that the word that we hold in our hand is the written Jesus Christ. So again, the Bible says these three agree in one. Look at the next verse, all right? Verse number 8. And there are three that bear a witness on earth. Again, bear witness. God is our witness on earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. Now, church, I mean, I think there's a couple references to that. When it talks about bear record on earth, I believe that the Spirit of God is on earth because he dwells inside of us. I believe the water, John is the one that wrote this, and John is the same person who wrote in John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word. Which again, I think the water there points to the word of God. And again, the water and the blood obviously make reference to Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that as far as that. Again, talk about the cross of Christ. Now, church, all I'm trying to get you to see tonight is simply this. God is our witness, and he's going to make reference to that. And then he starts off by showing it's not just God, it's the three gods. It's, when I say three, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father who's sitting on the throne in heaven. It's God the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you the day you got saved. And it's God, Jesus, the Son of God, in the book that you hold in your hand. Those three are witness, and they agree in one. I'm thankful that as a Christian, we don't have some doubtful, everything questioning, I just don't know how these all fit together and contradictions. No, we've got a book that from Genesis to Revelation, no contradictions, because it was God the Father who spoke to holy men of God through the Holy Spirit of God to write and pen the words of God. And God has given us his word, and it's the witness that we hold true. Listen, young people, listen to me tonight. It's not a matter, we were talking about this in Bible class today, this idea that when they grow up and they get out there and they go to their first job and somebody on the job says, well, the reason you act like that or dress like that or talk like that or go to church is because that's what your parents have taught you all your life. I told them in Bible class today, that is the most stupid statement a person can make, because the person who's accusing you of believing what you believe based upon what your parents have taught you is the same person who was taught by parents that, and that's why he doesn't believe what he doesn't believe. But we've got something greater than mom and dad teaching us in the home. We've got a book that we hold in our hand that has given us a record, which is the witness, and that witness comes from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our confidence as a Christian of my belief system is not based upon being a Baptist or because I go to church or what church I belong to. My confidence is the Word of God, which is the record that bears witness of God. God is my witness. Those three bear witness is what he's referring to. And we understand that God cannot lie. Now, church family, I want you to notice one more thing in verse number 10 as we continue on. I'm going to back up here in just a second. But I want you to understand that if you do not believe God's witness, look what the Bible says in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a, what's the word? Because he believeth not the record, the witness, the record that God gave of his Son. Church, I mean, when somebody says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, they're not just not believing a fact that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day. They are not believing the record, the witness of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't believe the record of Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, if you don't believe the record of God concerning his Son, you're calling God a liar. Why is it that Revelation 21, verse number 8, how does it start off? Revelation 21, 8? Come on, help me out here. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all shall have their part where? In the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Church, why did God put in there all liars are going to be put into a lake of fire? Because anybody who does not believe God's record is a what? Liar. Amen. It's not just a matter I told a lie, and I know that's part of our sin. It's not just a matter I told a lie, that's why, and God's naming these different types of sinners. God's saying, and if you don't believe my record, if you don't believe my witness that my Son Jesus died so you could go to heaven, you're calling me a liar? That's the people that are going to die and go to hell. Amen. So we see that there are three that bear witness, all right? Now, church, I want you to see something else. Not only are there three that bear witness, look at verse number 10 with me. Verse 10 says this, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the, what's the word? Witness in where? In himself. All right, now church family, let's go ahead. You already know the answer to this, but look at verse number 6 again. Verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the, what? That beareth what? Because the Spirit is truth. All right, now, church, we know, just a moment ago, we talked about there are three that bear witness. Church, you don't have to answer. I'll just say it for you here. The three that bear witness is, first of all, God the Father, God the Son, God the... All right, are you with me so far? And then he says that you bear witness... back up, hold on. That what's inside of you bears witness. Look at that verse one more time, verse number 10. He says in verse number 10, he says, he that believeth on the Son of God... Hey, how many of you have believed on the Son of God? Say amen. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You accepted him as your Savior. If that's you, say amen. That's who he's talking about. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. Now, church family, you know the answer. First of all, I'll ask it this way. Who is the witness that it's referring to? Holy Spirit of God. And where is that witness at? Exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 and 20. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Church family, the Holy Ghost was not in you until you got saved. Before we got saved, we were all children of the devil. And when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you were born into God's family. The Holy Spirit came and dwells inside of you. Your name was written in heaven. God's preparing a place for you. And one day when he calls you home to heaven, he's got a place. All of those things took place the day you got saved. How many's glad of that one? But do you understand that the witness, God is my witness. There are three that bear record in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. He says, second of all, there's a witness in you. I want to tell you something. If you've got to convince somebody, I'm talking about convince them that what they did to be saved, that they got saved, I wonder if they got saved. Nobody has to convince me that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved because there's a witness inside of me that bears record that I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss this tonight. The verse says in verse number 10, that if you have believed on the Son of God, there is a witness in you. Now, I want to just tell you something. If you start to doubt your salvation, I know that there's five evidences of salvation that you can go to as far as finding out if you're saved. In fact, by the way, I should just hand them out or give them to them. But there's actually five of them in 1 John. In my Growing Grace book, I went through the Bible and showed the five evidences. Part of them are in 1 John. But in 1 John, the phrase "we know" is mentioned again and again and again and again. And oftentimes, the reason it says "we know" is because of an evidence of salvation. There's an evidence of salvation. Do you love the brethren? There's an evidence of salvation. Do you get your prayers answered? There's an evidence of salvation. Does my spirit, is it kindred with another believer's spirit? There are things that show us that are evidence of salvation. Now, I want to just tell you, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, to me, those are a daily evidence that, hey, listen, there's a witness inside of me of Jesus Christ because the day I asked him to be my personal Savior. I want to tell you something. We belittle the Holy Spirit because we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. In fact, God said to the children of Israel in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, you have limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, I think we limit the Holy One of Israel. I'm not you, but I know the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I want to tell you how I know the Holy Spirit does it. Because he prompts me. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He prompts me. I don't want you to go in this direction. I want you to go to this direction. I don't hear voices, and I don't always get the prompt. But I get enough prompts to know he's the prompter. I know that he's there. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're about to do something, and you know that you shouldn't do something. That's not just your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit of God that pricks your conscience. You don't give a gospel tract out to somebody, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts you about that. A couple days ago, I was in McDonald's, and it was in the morning. I just got done studying. I came out of McDonald's, and I was going to the car because normally after I study, I go back home and get ready for the day. And when I came out, I passed a young fella. He was, I'm going to guess, 17, 18 years of age. And he was sitting there in the booth close to where the front counter is. And I think he was probably waiting for his order. But I always sit back here. And I came across and went by him. And when I went by him, it's like the Holy Spirit of God says, give him a track. And I didn't give him one. I'm thinking about the day and where I've got to go. And I'm walking out to my car and I'm talking to the Lord because the Lord had already convicted me about having a track. And I kept asking, Lord, do you want me to go back? Do you want me to go back? Do you want me to go back? When I finally got to the car, I was done asking because I knew I was supposed to give him a track. So I went back inside. The fellow was sitting there. I pulled out the smiley track and I said, hey, listen, I just want to give you a little gospel track. Now, at first I startled him. Like, who's the stranger coming up to me and talking to me in the morning hours? But then he looked up to me after I said, hey, I just want to give you a little gospel track. Tells you how you know for sure you're on the way to heaven. When he got that track and he looked up at me, it's like his eyes said, now, I know this is just me because the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me. It's like the Holy Spirit said through him, yes, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, I want to tell you something. You know why I'm saved? Because of times like that. You know why I'm saved? Because when you pray and the Lord answers your request in your life, and God, I need wisdom here, and I need to know what I'm supposed to do with my family. I need to know what I'm supposed to do with the church. I need to know what you want me to do. Do you understand? That's the witness of God that's inside of you. That's the evidence. That's the bare record. I know that sometimes you can get to a place where you start to doubt your salvation as far as what's going on in your life. But church, I mean, we don't have time tonight to do the thorough study of it because we'd be here for multiple hours when you just simply talk about the Holy Spirit. Church, I mean, do you know, watch me now, I don't want to lose you right here, but I want to just remind you of some things if you don't mind. There are things that happen in your life that we forget it's not us or circumstances or the people around us. It's actually the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us, which is that witness that you're saved. For instance, in Acts chapter 9, verse number 31, the Bible says, and in the comfort, I'm going to use portions of verses if you don't mind because of time. He said, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the church, the Church of Jerusalem. He said the Church of Jerusalem had gotten comfort, but they didn't get comfort because they were gathered together. They got comfort because of the Holy Ghost giving them comfort. Church, man, how do you explain somebody losing somebody so dear to them and they put them into the grave and they put them, and you say, well, Pastor, it's because they're going to see them again. I don't believe that. I believe it's because of the witness. I believe because of the Holy Spirit of God, he brings a comfort, a grace over a Christian to allow them to lose somebody that they love very dearly. And it helps, not that they don't have tears and grief, but helps them make it through it. Amen. The Holy Spirit not only gives comfort. But church, I mean, remember, I won't run through all of these tonight because there's actually 26 of them. But I just want you to think about, and there's probably a lot more than that. But church, I mean, in Acts 13, remember what the Bible says about Paul and Barnabas? The Bible says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Church, I mean, do you know why a person pastors a church becomes a missionary? It's not because they've got a burden for people. If you serve God in a capacity of pastoring a missionary because you have a burden, you won't be there very long. There are bad days and good days. There are nice people and not so nice people. What causes a person to continue on is because there's a witness inside of them that reminds them, I've called you to do this, and this is what I've called you to do. And the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. Amen. And it's a constant reminder of what the Lord's doing in your heart. Church, I mean, on and on and on, you could go through all the things the Holy Spirit does. He gives joy. He speaks through us. I'll listen to this. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I said, I don't want to bore you tonight. I know it's a Wednesday night, and some of you have worked long, and I'll do my best to hustle, but every time, how many times have you knocked on a door? How many times have you been with a neighbor, and all of a sudden you're talking to them, and Scripture comes to your mind, and you think, where'd that verse come from? I want to tell you why. The witness that's inside of us. How many times have we prayed for God, would you please put the power of God upon my life to be able to give the gospel to somebody? What is that? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Church, I mean, the work that we have to do would be a very laborious work if we did not have the Spirit of God, the unction of the Holy Spirit, the witness inside of us. That's what John's talking about here. He's saying there's three that bear witness, but that's not it. It's the witness in you. Listen, I know we're going to get to heaven. We'll know for sure who's saved and not saved. It'll be a very sad day, to be honest with you. People who we thought were saved and they're not. People who maybe grew up in church all their life, but as they got older, they figured out they were lost, but they didn't want to make a decision that people are going to think, what happened? Can I tell you something? If you're sitting in a church service and you're doubting your salvation, I would not let anybody of what they think about you send you to hell. I've had parents that have been a little bit careful about their kids making a decision when they're young, like 4 and 5 and 6 years old. Now, this is just Scott Hanks speaking, but to be honest with you, because the Bible says all are without excuse, I believe if they were to make a false profession because they did not understand, that God says all without excuse, he's going to give them an opportunity to get saved. And sometimes we see multiple kids. I made a profession of faith when I was about 4 years of age, but I did not get saved till I was 11. Now, I didn't maybe understand what I was doing at 4, but God does not just let you go. God gives everybody an opportunity to receive him. I'm not worried about any child that makes a profession of faith at a young age, because if they're not saved, God cares about your children. He cares about that child, and he's going to make a way. The only way a person is not going to get saved is if they reject it. It's in this chapter. I'm not sure if we're going to preach on it, but at the end of this chapter, two times, if not three, he talks about the sin unto death. Church, do you understand the only sin unto death is when you do not get saved? Hey, when you got saved, you got eternal life. Am I correct? When does eternal life start? When you die? If I have eternal life, it started the day I got saved. This body's just a shell. If it dies, I'm still living. I won't go through all of them tonight, but I just want to tell you something tonight. You have a real Holy Spirit living inside of you, and it doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. If you're saved tonight, you isn't it interesting that God refers to the Holy Spirit as a person? Think about this. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. If God wants to do a work in our life because there's a witness inside of us. And that witness is what speaks up. Jimmy, the war that's going on inside of you is that war between flesh and spirit. Remember Galatians number 5, that war's going through flesh and spirit? I think some people do not understand about the spirit inside of them because the flesh has so much of you that the spirit is quenched. You've poured so much water to extinguish the fire that you used to have to read your Bible and to pray and to tell people about Jesus Christ and to care about others who were in need and to think about what the Lord was trying to do in your heart during a church service, that you've put so much water upon the fire of the Holy Spirit that your flesh has so much control that you are blinded to what God wants to do in your life, but yet there's a witness inside of you. We see that there are three that bear witness. And then second of all, we see that the witness, the Bible says very clearly, the witness is inside of us. And of course, that witness is the Holy Spirit, and he's witnessing of Jesus Christ. Last thing, and here's the thought, and I almost wanted to go backwards, because really to me, this is the bulk of what John's trying to teach about. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 says this, and this is the record. Now, church family, in verse number 9, we find out who is the witness or who's the record coming from. Verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. All righty? Now, church family, the question is who are you going to believe? The witness of men or the witness of God? Hey, young people, listen to me tonight. The question is, who are you going to believe? I didn't say, are you going to believe your parents? I said, you're going to believe the witness of men, you're going to believe the witness of God. You have a Holy Spirit inside of you, and you got a book that you hold in your hand, and there's a God in heaven, and these three agree in one. So here he says in I'm going to pick up in verse 9 again, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God. So you would think that this is the record or the witness that's about to happen. But he's going to explain what the witness is about. In verse number 9, he said, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. This is the witness. Are you ready? Here's what he says. That God hath given to us, what? Eternal life. And this life is where? All right, so when he says, and this life, what kind of life? Eternal life. This eternal life is in his Son. All right, now church, I'm going to stop because I'm going to have you look at it one more time here. So the witness, the record, the evidence is simply eternal life is in his Son. Are you with me so far? All right, now that we said it, let's look at it one more time. Verse number 11, this is the record. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? What kind of life? He that hath not the Son of God hath not what? What kind of life? Eternal life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, church, I mean, here's what John is trying to say, all right? And we're bringing it to a close tonight, but here's what John is trying to say. John's trying to say, God is my witness. And that witness is so established because it's established by three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all witness the same thing. And not only that, that witness is in you. John says, hey, it's not just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the witness that's inside of you, because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. It's the witness. And then he says, here's the witness. Eternal life, it's in his Son. Hey, listen, I don't think anybody in here has to doubt where you're going when you go to heaven because of the witness. God's witness was, if you're going to go to heaven and have eternal life, it's in my Son. That's all you have to believe. These things, he goes on to say, these things have I written unto you. What's that? That's the Son of God. You say, no, Pastor, that's the book. Yes, it is, because that's Jesus, the written word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We understand that I know I'm going to heaven because of the witness of God the Father, because of the witness of God the Son, which is the book you hold in your hand, and because of the witness of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. What is the witness? What is the record about? Eternal life is in his Son. All right? In his Son. That's good to know, isn't it? That's good to know. I think so. Daniel, help me out tonight if you don't mind. All right? Come on up here, Daniel. All right, church family, I want you to help me here. If you are a man, 18 or older, if you're a man, I want you to stand up where you're at. 18 years or older, you're a man. All right? One of these guys out here, I gave them $20. And I put it in them. Which one is it?
No idea.
No idea? Would you like to guess? Any day now.
Is it my dad?
Your dad?
Yeah.
Your dad wishes I would have given him $20. Now, church, I mean, before you sit down, let me just say it this way. Let's picture that the $20 is eternal life. I walked up to one of the men in here tonight, and I said, I need you to allow me to put this $20 bill in your pocket. So I put it in their top pocket. I put that $20 bill in their pocket tonight. Now, church, I mean, I know which man it is because I put it there. That $20 bill is representation of eternal life, and it's in his Son. Now, I want to tell you, we're living in a world today where there's a bunch of people out here that they think they know how to get to heaven, but they don't even know what it's in. But I want to tell you who does know who's it's in. It's God. God knows who's it in because he's the one that placed it there. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. Now, I want to tell you something. The best way for you to find out how to get eternal life is to find out who has the record. Would you like to know who has a $20 bill?
Yes, I would.
Now, I want to tell you something. If I tell you, you get the $20 bill. I'm the only one that knows who has it here. I think it'd be smart for you to listen to me. So if you don't listen to me, you're calling me a liar. See that guy over there in the striped shirt? Brother Aaron, you see him over there? Aaron Sullivan? If you go over there, I bet you can get that $20 bill. Hey, don't you like it that salvation's that easy? If you just put your faith in Jesus Christ, you get eternal life.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
But we've got all the world trying to tell us how going to heaven, there it's like a bicycle tire, and we're all spokes going to heaven. Or, you know, it's, if you go to church, or if you live a good life, or if you treat others like you want to be treated. I want to tell you who's the witness that knows the right answer. God knows.
Yeah, right.
Fellas, thank you so much for standing. Maybe seated. What's the witness? The witness is that eternal life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so thankful for that day. Now, I want to tell you something. I can't remember the date. To be honest with you, I still have doubts in my mind on who it was that opened up the Bible. Our church was smaller. It was only two middle rows, and it was obviously a lot shorter in. I remember being under conviction during the service, and Dad was preaching on hell. And me thinking, I just wish the service would end. Now, for whatever reason, as an 11-year-old boy, I thought I had to go forward. I just remember, oh, I just wish the service would end. I want to be saved. And in my child's mind, I thought I had to go forward and someone had to show me in a Bible. But I could have got saved at my pew. But I remember that day of going forward, and my dad was a big man, and It was three stairs instead of this five, but I remember him leaning over and saying, Scott, what's wrong? And me saying, Dad, I'm not saved. I remember walking over to that front row. I think it was Chuck Thompson. I don't remember. I think so. And I remember sitting there, and I knew all the verses and I knew all the answers, but I remember praying that day. I've never doubted since. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something. I can't remember who. I can't remember the date, but I have a witness.
Amen.
Some of you that are doubting your salvation, you're wondering, man, am I really saved? Did I say the right words? Was I under conviction? I think I can help you tonight. Is there a witness?
Amen.
Is there anything inside your mind's heart that opens up the scriptures when you're reading for you to see things, that convicts you of wrongdoing when you're about to do something wrong or after you've done? Is there a prompting to do right, whether it's giving out a tract or doing something for somebody else? Is there an answer to prayer that when you're praying and you're saying, God, I really need you to do this for me, that you've peace that comes over you, that the Spirit of God's, this is our, I hate to use the word religion, our belief system is not spooky. It's not spooky. It's not feeling. It's not bumps, goosebumps coming across you. It's real. I think the person who's not saved doesn't understand that because it's not real. Trisha, I don't know about you, but I have sat through so many services that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I've sat through so many services that the Holy Spirit didn't speak to me. But it's those services that he spoke to me that reminds me there's a witness inside of me.
Amen.
You know, the day I surrendered to do whatever God's will was for my life, it was my freshman year of college. It was a large auditorium. I was probably sitting about where Sam was. Phil Schuler was the one that was preaching, and the whole time he's speaking, it's like God was speaking to me. And it wasn't really the words that were coming out of his mouth. It was like God was speaking to me. And to be honest with you, I was overwhelmed. I remember coming forward during that service, and I was on the side over here, and I just told the Lord, I don't know what you want, but I'll do whatever you want. And I want to tell you why that happened, because there was a witness inside of me.
Amen.
I remember, I don't know if it was sophomore or junior year of college, I was sitting on the second row, Dr. Vogelin Sr. was preaching. And I can't remember what he was preaching, but during that service, I got broken. Have you ever been in a service before that you got broken? When the invitation started, I left my pew, but I did not go forward. I went back. It was like God had, it was like, you know, he grabs your hearts and he twists it. I left the building. I went to another building. I found a closet, a janitor's closet. I went inside that janitor's closet and just closed the door and just cried. You know, it's times like that you know you have a witness. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've sat through scores of services. That hasn't happened. And the Holy Spirit of God doesn't always do that. But when those times happen, it's just a reminder he's there. What is the witness? Eternal life is through my Son. And guess what? If you've got that witness, you know you're on your way to heaven. And the Holy Spirit will move you. And he'll work in your heart. Fellas, have you ever said anything to your wife that you regretted? That's not just your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. I went home before coming in here tonight. It was a busy day today, but I went to Taco Bell to study before service for a couple hours. And when I got done studying, I didn't have supper with the family tonight. I told them to just go ahead. They're going to have to eat something on their own. So I went by the house, and when I got to the house, I went upstairs because I always get out of a colored shirt. I try to always wear a white shirt when I preach. And so I went home, and my wife said to me, son, now you know what kind of relationship we have. She said to me, Scott, you need to take a shower. Now, part of my manhood wanted to say, mind your own business. I have church tonight. It's been a busy day. But when she said you need to take a shower, it's like the Holy Spirit says, you better be thankful you got a wife that tells you when you need one. I said, okay. I took a shower. I am as clean as can be. You know what? There are so many times like that in your life, the Holy Spirit of God does things in your life and you just dismiss it. Well, that's just my wife. That's just my husband. That's just my boss. I'm just trying to tell you there's a witness inside of you. And the closer you are to God, the louder the voice gets. And the farther you are away from God, the weaker the voice gets. Some of you in here, I feel bad for you because what I'm talking about you is talking about tonight is so foreign to you. But you know why it's foreign to you? You are so far away from God, the Holy Spirit of God, you can't hear him. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you is part of the Spirit of God the closer I get to God. This chapter, at the end of the chapter, says the true God, that we know him. Listen, I'm telling you, trying to tell you tonight, God's my witness. Eternal life is through his son. And you know why I know that? Because the witness is inside of me. You know why I know that? Because there's three that agree. Amen. He's my witness. I don't have to doubt my salvation. I know where I'm going when I die. Hey, man will tell you lies. Let God be true and every man. I wouldn't call God a liar. He can't lie. It's his nature. He can't lie. Hey, if you're glad you're saved tonight, just say amen.
Amen.
Then you have a witness. It's inside of you. Church family, are you sensitive to that witness? Do you ever ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I've done. What are you trying to tell me? Where are you trying to show me? There's a witness inside of you. It's in our best interest to listen to the witness. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?